You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Yes, this is the cycling podcast Femina. It is that time of year again. It is, of course, Christmas quiz time. And I have my two... Oh, we have other stuff to do as well before that. But I know that's the real headline of this episode. I do have two willing, unwilling, we'll see when we get to the quiz, victims here. And I have to say, an early Christmas present in the return of Orla Shenaway.
Hooray!
I hope you kept the receipt. That's not much of a Christmas present. But thank you. Yeah, it's lovely to be back. It's lovely to be joining you guys. And Denny joining you for the first time.
Yeah, well, it's nice to meet you, Orla.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I must have met you already because I've been listening to your dulcet tones so much. But it's lovely to actually be joining you in person. Yeah, it's fun.
Likewise.
Yes, yeah. I didn't actually say Denny Gray was here. I just took that as a given. Just in the like the granny in the corner of Christmas Day. He's just sitting there quietly. So hello, Denny Gray.
You've made it to the Cycling Podcast family now when you get an introduction that is as insulting as that.
Yeah,
you've made
well,
it.
I feel like I've like one of those like reserves that was called up to the first team in the summer, and the manager seems to have forgotten that I'm still there.
Because you've just put in so many star performances, that's why.
Just quietly taking the paycheck.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, thank you both for joining us for this special Christmas quiz. And this is good. This at the first time that Denny has done a Christmas quiz. I know you're absolutely thrilled about that, Denny. I've been trailing it for like the last few months, and you're so excited that Denny has a song for us. I think that might be a cycling podcast first to have a specially written song that we will be playing at the end of this episode. I'm saying this now so that you can't get out of it, Denny. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I wasn't terrified about the quiz, I'm now even more terrified about the prospect of having to sing.
Well, that's good.
Isn't that Christmas in a nutshell, Lou? A mixture of terror and excitement. You've captured the season perfectly.
It is. Actually, I've just come back from my school, my daughter's school rock concert, and she sang.
Rock concert.
She got up and sang "Last Christmas" by Wham in front of the whole school.
Oh,
so if she could do that,
what age is she?
She's nine.
Oh my God, did you not cry?
I was blown away.
Oh, I'd be crying just thinking about it.
Oh, I'd be in bits. That's so beautiful. Were you allowed to record it? Because in British schools, we're not allowed to record these days.
Well, I videoed away.
Did you? Good on you. Good on you.
Yeah,
share it with
us
later.
Oh, well, there we
good
go.
Good honour.
Well, you've got a lot to live up to then, Denny, basically. Because already one member of the Gray family has, you know, is already a superstar. So you've got something to reach for. We did also, I know I did say that we'd been speaking about the Christmas quiz for the past few episodes, Henry Denny, but we also been talking about this becomes a little bit more of a strange segue, the Tashkent City Women's Team, which I did think before we get to all the festivities, we would give a quick mention to their situation because you have been following it, Denny, haven't you, over the past few months, that they have now been approved to have a wild card to all of the Women's World Tour races next year. So obviously you have the Women's World Tour licenses, those are the World Tour teams, and then you have the Continental teams, and then you have teams that get invited to these Women's World Tour races. But yes, it's actually happened because there was a lot of questions over it would happen because the rival teams were questioning the veracity, let's say, of some of their results and some of the points that the Tashkent City women's team had earned.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how they do. Apparently, according to Dan Challis, who has done an excellent piece on them and an interview with the team, they're planning to ride the Giro, the Tour, the Vuelta, Strada Bianchi, and some of the Chinese races. Not all of the World Tour events, but, you know, obviously the Grand Tours, in inverted commas. So they will be there in Europe racing. They don't have that many big names to speak of, but I think we need to be careful about being, I guess, applying too many stereotypes to the team. I mean, we don't know the team that well, and obviously They got a lot of their points through racing the Uzbek national championships, which has caused many to, I guess, question the whole UCI points system, whether it's fit for purpose.
For the Uzbek national champs, there was, I think, 8 riders. 7 of them rode for the Tashkent City women's team, and the 8th rider who didn't finish. So there are some questions about quite what went on there.
Yeah, it didn't look great on paper.
I mean, it's not though, is it? Let's be perfectly honest. I don't mean to rain in anyone's parade, but that as a qualification system is bonkers, isn't it? Mm. Let's call a spade a spade.
Fair enough, Orla.
That's no disrespect to any of the riders. It's no disrespect to the team. But that being enough to qualify for any level, you know, Tour de France femme, we're trying to get the sport taken seriously in a global sporting level, you know?
No, it's true. I mean, what is crazy
is
the other team that was accepted in the same system is Cofidis, which is obviously a team we all know. It has a long history. I don't think the men's heritage really should play a part in it, but you know, it's a team that we know that we see regularly on a lot of races. But as you say, Denny, I mean, they are also, you know, they're not a European tour team, so we wouldn't have seen them. You know, they ride the Asian races, and I think they rode a Croatian, the Poric Trophy race, a small Croatian race. So you also never know in cycling, you know, how things will play out. I mean, I just think about, we were really questioning when the Roland Kogius Edelweiss team became a world tour team, and we were thinking, you know, well, what are they really going to do? They've hardly got even a big enough squad to turn up to these races. And of course, we saw they got several wins in smaller races. We saw some great performances from Claire Steeles there. So, we shall see. And also, I mean, they're not going to be necessarily the lowest performing team at these races, because, you know, they're the national, you know, say the Tour de France Femme, you can have these very small French teams that, you know, are there for a myriad of reasons that are not necessarily sporting ones. So, we'll see next year, won't we? Not to start totally ominously on the on the podcast, but we were going to talk about this year actually, and look back at what our highlights were, what were the moments that really stood out for us. I know, Denny, the whole of the Tour de France fam being with me on the road would be your personal highlight, if not a racing one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was an amazing experience.
I'm blaming that on some kind of like delay on on our little video Zoom that we've got going on. But
no, I mean, no, that was I was straight in. It must have been the delay. I wasn't, you know, thinking twice about whether I'd spend 8 days on the road with you again, Rose. That was an amazing experience. You know, the pizza vending machine experience, kind of going to see the caravan and just having never been to the Tour de France or the Tour de France fan before, so it was just a fantastic experience. I absolutely loved it.
Because all I don't think we've spoken to you since, maybe even since the tour, it could be. So, you know, I'm so excited because I really don't know what your big highlight is going to be, and you bring so much kind of emotion and passion to watching bike races. But we miss it, you know, when you're not on, because it kind of it brings all that kind of real, the excitement that the fans have. So I'm sure you've been in tears a number of times this year from racing.
Do you know what, Orla? Rose has missed your crying so much, your tears so much, that she even forced me to do an impression of you crying about Cassia Nieuwiedijma winning.
And I was
on the
very
spot,
impressed,
which...
slight slash appalled. But that's okay. Do you know what? If that's my lasting legacy in my temporary absence from the podcast, the crying, I'm all up for that. And also, Rose, I love that most people would be saying that kind of thing with an eye roll. Like, we've missed your you're just so passionate. Like, You get so emotional. And I love that you're being actually genuine.
Well, yeah, but we
it.
Should so say that was you. the pretend crying was the that we made. I made Denny do that. You did just jump into it, Denny, didn't you? Which also surprised me. There was no like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. It was just weeping straight away, which was very good. But that was, we were saying that about the Kasia Niewiadoma winning the Gravel World Champs, which actually was something that we only bothered mentioning because, you know, of being,
because it was Kasia.
Of Kasia and being such big Kasia fans on this podcast. But Orla, did you weep when you saw that? Because if you didn't, then that's put the whole thing out.
I wept at not being able to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if I'd been able to watch it, I feel like I would have done. And that's where I felt slightly robbed, really, because reading a result is never the same as getting to watch how it pans out. That is what live sport is all about. That's what grabs our hearts and keeps our attention and fills our soul. So I was really delighted for her and delighted for the Gravel Worlds as well, actually, because to have someone like Kasia winning it is absolutely huge. But I just feel like I love with her that we've been waiting on this win for such a long time. And then she goes and grabs a set of rainbow bands. Like, how amazing is that? And I did hear you guys talking about the boost that will give her. And it's bound to seep over in some way into her road performances. So it was huge. I didn't get to weep, unfortunately, because, reading a news headline and then weeping is a little bit extreme, even for me. But if I'd been able to watch it, I do think I would have certainly shed a tear or five. But it was beautiful. Beautiful. A wonderful moment of the year.
Was that your highlight? No, it's not. What is your highlight?
No, not necessarily. Again, because I didn't watch it. I did cry at this one,
good.
Though.
Get the tears going.
Much.
Come on.
Although, the highlight was actually coming after this performance. So I was lucky enough to take Alison Jackson out for some bitterballen in a little restaurant near here called Café de Town in the Jordaan in the centre of Amsterdam. Wow. My dear friend Rhianne Ravenscroft is on the board of the Cyclist Alliance, and her and Alison have become good friends. And Alison was popping through Amsterdam en route to somewhere across the Atlantic week after Pyro Bay. And so I got to hang out with Rhianne and Alison, and treating Alison to bitterballen as a celebration for winning Pyro Bay. And if you've ever had bitterballen, you will know just how anticlimactic that is as a celebration. And not only that, but we had to go to about three different bars in the Jordaan to finally get somewhere that served the bitterballen.
What is a bitterballen? Is it like a croquette type thing?
They're like little bowls of croquettes with unspecified meat inside, sort of shredded meat covered in breadcrumbs. I would imagine they're usually served with beer. I'd imagine if you're drinking, they're amazing. If you get good bitterballen, they're incredibly comforting and reassuring. They're not, they're never going to challenge, you know, the French when it comes to culinary perfection. But even by the standards that we'd set for Alison and the expectation that we'd set, I think she would probably admit to being slightly underwhelmed. However, it was a wonderful evening, and she was talking about how she'd, I can't even remember, this is awful, what was the race the week after Pyro Bay, and she was a DNF in it.
Must have been the Ardennes. I should have been Amsterdam.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But she was talking about how just from one race to the next, you know, post Pyro Bay, her bus was being mobbed by little girls and people coming and asking for her picture and telling her what an impact her win made on girls in particular. And it was just really emotional hearing it from Alison, because you know that this is the kind of effect it's going to have, especially with a rider like her, and the energy and passion and fun that she brings to bike racing. And she's not always, you know, she would not have been anyone's favourite to win Pyro Bay. So especially bringing all of that to the win, you know that's going to have an impact on people watching and especially little girls. But to hear that from her and hear the impact on her was absolutely beautiful. So that was my highlight of the year. But I do have to say, while watching the race, and I will allow you two to speak, but it's been a couple of months, so, you know, I'm on
a roll. No, I'm just wondering if the weeping happened while you were eating this disappointing bitterballen, or whether the weeping actually happened at the race.
I had a tear as she was telling me the story about the little girls, because I just find it so impactful. And this is why we do it, isn't it? It's why we're into sport, because of the impact that it has on people, especially formational experiences that it gives to young people. It's everything, and it's everything about women's cycling. So yes, I did have a tear in my eye when she told me that, but it was watching it in the studio, because we were covering it for Eurosport, and watching it live. And I just, the number of times I was jumping up and down and screaming at the TV going, Alison! Because even from that break, you know, it's just, she's just brilliant. I just love everything about her. And so I was so excited at the thought of her maybe being able to take it, you know, and there was some like 10 kilometers out, and I was saying to the guys, just imagine what it's like in Alison Jackson's head right now. Imagine that excitement and the nerves and the tension and the fear that it's all going to slip away. And just being able to celebrate her all the way to the line was incredible. And also, once she crosses the line, you know she's going to give an almighty dance.
Yes.
You know, and the fact she delivers on that, she's just an exceptional athlete because of her performances, but really more so. And this is not the kind of thing that we should expect from athletes, because they're dedicated enough to their performance and the results. But to be able to bring that character, that flair, that absolute joy, which is what sport is all about, is the icing on every cake that you can imagine. It's the breadcrumbs on the bitterballen.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was amazing. So for all of those reasons, Alison Jackson is my hero of 2023.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But also the timing of it was perfect, wasn't it? In that we'd just gone through all of the kind of early spring season. It was just SD Works, SD Works, SD Works.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Vollering, Capecchi, SD Works, SD Works. And so it was just this, and we like, it felt like every single episode of the Cycling Podcast Feminine, we were just saying, how do we beat SD Works? How do we beat SD Works? And then to see in kind of, I would, you know, an unlikely person to beat SD Works, actually.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
kind of always thinking, Lidl Trek have got to be the people to do it, surely, or, you know, DSM. But then to have Alison Jackson come through and win in that style, in a way that you would never say, oh, the best way of beating SD Works is just to go for it and keep going and going and going and attacking and attacking. Yeah. You would never
just
say
smash
that.
It.
You would never say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. It should never have worked.
Yeah.
That's why it was so beautiful. It should never have worked. And it did. And that's exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked so tactically naive, didn't it? Because she was on the front. Mm. She was driving that break. And you'd think, why is she doing that? She's going to have nothing left for the velodrome.
Even the fact she was having it on the front, because again, we kept saying in the podcast, we see so often riders and teams gifting the results to SD Works because they're riding each other out of it and riding themselves out of it. And even as she was doing all that work, I was saying, like, this is just, I don't care. I did care, but I don't care if she's beaten, because she's showing exactly how we want to see racing. You know, we want to believe that they're desperate, and obviously they're all desperate to win, but this is where tactics can sometimes just undo the excitement of a race. And I love the fact she was leaving nothing behind. And again, that should not have won it. And it made the win all the more thrilling. Yeah, it was, might have worked.
That's it for the podcast.
For once.
No, it doesn't surprise, and it won't surprise me, Denny, when I come to your find out your highlight. I have a feeling that the highlights of our year aren't going to be those many, many SD Works wins. That's just a hunch that I have. But Denny, tell us. I'm sure Paris-Roubaix has got to be up there for you. But what was your standout moment apart from the pizza and the Paris-Roubaix?
Apart from that. Paris-Roubaix was definitely in the top five for me.
The top five. I love how it's just like, I send a little message on WhatsApp like, oh, everyone needs to have a highlight. And Denny's like, do you want my top five, my top 10, my top 20? How many do you want? I got them all written down.
I could spend hours talking about my highlights, but, all of yours is going to be a hard act to follow given the passion you've just explained, your highlight. But I think for me, the stage four of the Tour de France Femme was my highlight. For multiple reasons, really, not just because it was a win for one of the smaller teams, Yara Kastelein winning her first professional victory, but I think it was the whole background to it. So leading up to that stage, even leading up to the tour, everyone was expecting SD Works domination again, and they'd already won two stages out of the three at that point, Leanna Lippert being the other stage winner. But Fenix de Koenig had been really, really active. I mean, they were the feel-good team of the tour. They were the fun bus. They were the ones pumping out the Euro pop.
They were the Alison Jackson of the Tour de France family.
Exactly, yeah. And they'd been in the break every single stage up until then, you know, really just enlivening the race. And Yara Kastelein, she'd been in the break herself on stage two. She'd even worn the polka dot jersey as a result. And then on stage three, the team had experienced real heartbreak. Julie van der Velde was caught with just 200 meters to go on that long finishing straight in Montignac-Lascaux. And but they, you know, they didn't let that defeat them. And the next stage, Kastelein was in the break with Marta Troyen, and they played an absolute blinder. I mean, at one point, the escape had 10 minutes on the bunch. Audrey Cordon-Rigaud had moved into virtual yellow. The whole hopes of France were kind of resting with her for a minute, and she ended up in tears at the end of the stage because she thought that, you know, she might get into yellow. But SD Works reduced the deficit, and then behind the break there were attacks. Capecchi attacked, Van Vleuten attacked on the penultimate climb, and
well, it was meant to be that kind of the first stage that was going to really shuffle the GC in a big way, wasn't it? It was kind of billed as that. And so I think that's kind of why we ended up with this breakaway step. Well, actually only Yara Kastelein staying away. And one thing actually, when I was working on the Christmas quiz and I had another look at this stage, one thing that I had forgotten was that Demi Vollering crossed the line celebrating, didn't she?
Yeah.
Which was just a real weird quirk. And then she said, oh, I just did it anyway. And she was like, oh, I wasn't sure, so I just thought I'd better do it anyway for the pictures, but you can delete the pictures now.
That was just, there were so many facets to that race. As you say, they had the GC battle behind, and they reduced the gap substantially, but Kastelein had broken away at the escape from the escape group towards the end. And as you say, it wasn't as tense as Paris-Roubaix, but it was still hanging in the balance when they hit that final steep climb in Rodez. And as you say, Vollering kind of accelerated, leaving her rivals behind and sat up for the win, only to realise she hadn't. Although, as you say, she claimed she knew all along. She was just getting ready for the cameras just in case or something. But Kastelein had beaten her to it. It was her first pro win, and it was a real redemption for the team and a win for the underdogs as well. It was fantastic. And what I loved about that as well was just a reaction. I know, Rose, you interviewed Yara Kastelein's mum, I think, didn't you, after the stage? And she was absolutely lovely. Her whole family were there. And Marta Troyen's reaction also won her the Pedaleur de Charme. I can't remember what her...
Yeah, we should say the most important thing was the Pedaleur de Charme, because I went to see Marta Troyen at the end. She was in the breakaway with Yara Kastelein, and Marta said... And one of the soigneurs said, you know, Martha, you need to drink some water. And she said, I don't need water. We're drinking champagne. So it's like, okay, give this woman the Pedaleur de Charme. But yeah, she's a fantastic character. And she was third in that Paris-Roubaix that Alison Jackson won. So yeah, kind of like, I'll be really interested seeing what Martha Troyen gets up to next year, because obviously she's a real talent as well. But yeah, that was a really special moment, wasn't it? Especially again, that kind of looking at the Van Vleuten or SD Works, it was all about that during that Tour de France fam at the beginning stages, and to have Yara Kastelein come through was
fantastic. There's a bit of a theme here, Rose, isn't there, in our highlights? Getting one over on SD Works.
Yes, my highlight is not entirely a kind of... I feel like yours are both great underdog stories.
Yours is Demi Vollering.
Right? Mine isn't quite that, but...
it's everything.
Demi Vollering taking the Ardennes Triple. No, it's not. It's that crazy stage, the Vuelta Femenina. I think it was stage six, when we had Demi Vollering went for a nature break, as we so politely call it, at the same time as there being crosswinds out on the road, and Movistar were at the front, and Movistar had always had this plan to really go for it in the crosswinds, split the race to pieces, absolutely split the race to pieces. And then Vollering obviously pulls up her bib shorts and is like, what the hell has just happened? I'm way behind, minutes behind. And so it's this fantastic moment where you're seeing Van Vleuten at the front and Vollering minutes back, and they're both kind of going for it. And it's kind of like a mano a mano, which someone kindly pointed out, when I say womano a womano, doesn't mean man to man, which I did know that already, but there was a kind of this
people on social media correcting you by something. That's
very unusual, isn't it? Unusual. But it was this great moment where we had Vollering was trying to put all of her energy in, Van Vliet was trying to go for it herself, and it was kind of just this gap was slowly closing, because we actually, as much as we build up this rivalry between Vollering and Van Vliet, we don't necessarily see that many times when it's just those two going for it without any team tactics involved as well, without like, oh, Vollering's hanging on the back because she's got Marlon Royster coming back, or there's someone, an SD Works rider ahead, so she's seeing. Didn't actually have many opportunities to see just two spectacular athletes at the top of their game putting the pedal down and just going for it, like really desperate, trying to get as much time on each other. Well, Van Vliet trying to get as much time on Vollering trying to lose as little as she can. It was just chaos. And also, another thing that I remembered about it was there was this crazy, because actually Guy Raelini pipped Van Vliet for the win by a photo finish, and there was this crazy podium ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Which I totally forgot about. Van Vliet came on to take the stage win and got all of the prizes, got all of the, you know, funny little trophies, and then again got the red jersey as the leader's jersey. And then they were obviously realised that Guy Raelini had won, and then obviously must have taken the prizes off of Van Vliet and then re-presented them to Guy Raelini. It was just one of those things where I think, I do a lot of work now in like golf and tennis. This would not happen in golf and tennis. This is like a really specific to cycling kind of beautiful, mad, chaotic, crazy thing, which is so cycling that I thought it was a very beautiful moment and just create more of a crazy moment than anything. But, you know, you've got to live for the drama, don't you?
I loved that moment on the road, but I actually loved just as much the beef off the road afterwards. And I have a lot of time for riders telling it like it is, or at least giving their full and honest opinion, because Demi Vollering did not hold back in saying that Annemiek van Vleuten should not have attacked when she did and she was being disrespectful. I disagree with that. And obviously, if you're to take Movistar and Annemiek van Vleuten's take on it, which was that they had reconned this and they knew exactly where to make their move and they're not going to not make their move just because Demi Vollering is having a wee, then you've got to give credence to that. But I like that Demi Vollering brought that and made it public. And I like that Annemiek van Vleuten wasn't shying away from it either, because I think so often, you know, what's lovely about sport, and it's really important, and I talk about the impact on kids in particular, it is important that respect is shown. However, whenever that is glossed over, or whenever animosity or frustration or annoyance or anger is glossed over in the name of respect, that's not necessarily being respectful. It's being disingenuous, and it's taking away from what we know is a burning, desperate ambition to win. That's why they sacrifice so much. And I like to see that. I like to be able to see and feel and hear and smell the anger from riders.
I don't think I want to smell the anger
their
from
way.
Riders. All right, I'm just going to stop you there and say, I have my limits.
I'm thinking it smells more like burning clutch.
Oh, no, that's an awful smell.
You know, that uncomfortable, ugly, you know, but it'll pass. You know, that kind of smell, mountaintop smell. But yeah, I loved that, because also with women's racing in particular, I think we can be really critical sometimes whenever they're showing their really fiercely competitive side. And we've seen that with Lotte Kopecky and Demi Vollering, where they're criticized when they're trying to beat each other. Bring that on. You know, they are at the top of their game. They should be wanting to win and get angry with each other if they think that the rules have been disrespected or the unwritten rules have been broken, whatever it is. And it gives us something else to talk about. And that is what makes any sport grow. When we're being too polished about everything, it loses any interest, you know? So I have a lot of respect for both Demi and Annemiek for not shying away from either that battle or talk about the battle.
So, absolutely.
Loved it.
And hopefully after the Christmas quiz, Orla, I won't be smelling the anger when you express your frustration.
You'll be eating my dust, Denny.
Here we go.
No. I did listen to which podcast was it you guys did? It wasn't the last. It was a few podcasts ago where Denny opened up the possibility of bribing Rose. So I already claim unfair play, and I'm not afraid of bringing that battle, Denny. I'm going to cry foul if you win, regardless, because that I'm a terrible loser.
Wow.
That's how it's going to be.
Well, at least you're being open and honest, in just as you've explained.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport, sponsors of the cycling podcast. Have you done all your Christmas shopping? You haven't? What have you been doing? Well, to be honest, nor have I quite. I have got my parents sorted, though. They are a couple of very dedicated parkrun tourists with their first half marathon on the horizon next year. So we've got them plenty of gifts to keep them pounding the pavements. And that includes a whole ton of Science in Sport goodies. Go Isotonic energy gels in flavours like pink grapefruit and cherry to keep them fueled. The Protein 20 bars for a rather delectable protein hit. Vanilla fudge for the win, by the way. And the Hydro tablets to keep them hydrated after those training runs. If you're scrabbling around for your sports nut loved one, then head over to scienceinsport.com. They even have a Christmas gift guide over on their blog, which offers up plenty of options for running lovers, flavour connoisseurs, indoor exercisers, or as they like to call it, the two-wheel tarmac chaser in your life. For all your sports nutrition needs, head over to scienceinsport.com.
It's Christmas quiz time! I'm sorry, producer Will is probably hating that every time. He's like, what is she doing? Another sound effect.
No, I bet he's thinking,
in
what?
Studio sound
Santa's
effect.
Here already?
He's looking out his window now.
And then hugely disappointed. Just to add confusion. Just us. Sorry, Will.
It's just us doing the Christmas quiz. Everyone's favourite moment of the year, though, surely. Although I feel I'm getting a sense of all is kind of, I feel like a bit of a bombastic sense of coming into it. Denny, I feel like you've gone very small and nervous on us now. You're taking up a very small amount of video on your screen now, as if you're kind of, unless
compared to my huge looming face here, I'm trying to intimidate you, Big Brother style.
Yeah, exactly. All has moved closer and closer to the video camera, but it's not good. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Denny, give us a bit of opinion on how you're feeling in true kind of race day fashion. We should do. You know, how are you feeling ahead of this race, this big, big race, Denny?
Well, in the spirit of not being disingenuous and telling you how I'm really feeling, there are butterflies in my stomach. I am slightly nervous, mostly about just being humiliated for my lack of recall about weird and obscure cycling facts over the season. But I you know, if I lose to Orla, I lose to obviously an amazing professional kind of.
Oh, come on, you're talking like an old Denny already. Revere, so. Man.
Exactly. You've got to get your. We're all getting our excuses in early here, aren't we? And I'm getting mine in.
Okay, Orla, well, I can't even remember if you're reigning champ or not. I mean, last year it descended.
Let's go
so
with
badly
yes,
when it was you and Lizzie. So I can't even remember who won.
I think it might be the only one I get today. Last year's win. So let's just pretend. Yeah. Actually, Denny, listen to last year's Christmas quizzes revision. Denny, who won last year?
I think everyone was a loser, draw, wasn't it, last year? There was some kind of confusion at the end.
Oh, yes, you decided you're all I think it was a draw, but I think technically so you did win. But then, Orla, you kind of agreed to draw because Lizzie was disappointed because she hadn't had a
I'm an incredible
race
person
that
like
year,
that. And what can I say? I'm just so humble
and
victory.
And this gone more into Orla's favour somehow.
Yeah, and then Rose demoted you all to losers.
But moral victor, that's what you're saying, Denny. I'll take that. Okay,
right, yeah, come on. Yeah. Let's not...
trying to butter you up.
Yeah, let's not try and get out of this now by running out of time. Yeah. It is time for the first round, which you'll all know so well. Cryptic criteria.
I wish you could all see Rose's face when she does that. It's a proper game show
face, isn't it?
And also, you're not looking at the camera as you do it. You're projecting. You're like looking into the middle distance as you project in some form of game show style.
I do that quite a lot. My husband calls it middle distance manly when I just suddenly go middle distance and then make an announcement or something. But that's what just happened.
Fish and chips for dinner!
Cryptic criterium. Everyone should know how this works. I'm going to give a cryptic clues that will lead you to the... I think it's all of them are just surnames apart from one. So I'll tell you when that one comes up. To just the surname of a rider in a world tour team. So let's get on with it, shall we? And Denny, you should say, please do not follow Richard's lead, which was to quietly sit and think about it in his head and then steal Orla's answer at the end. We don't want... Follow Richard in many, many, many ways, but not in that very particular one, please. Okay, so first one. American police officer who eats like a chicken does.
Kobeki!
Yes! Oh, Orla!
Very good.
On fire! That might have been actually the quickest answer I think we've ever
had. I'm not going to lie.
That was incredible.
That one. Can we stop and die?
Yeah. Okay.
This is like a pool hustle, isn't it?
Well, that makes you the hustler, Denny, so I got to be scared now.
Next one. Two things that kids do with their bogeys, which you wish they didn't.
Eat.
Lick. Not. Pick. Yes. Oh, you've actually both said.
Pick a lick.
Pick, eat.
Yeah, yes! Daria, pick a lick. Of course, there was the answer.
That is a very
See,
good
actually, clue. my natural inclination is to go quiet and think inside my head. So I might have to revert to the Richard Moore.
Just stealing answers. Yes. Yeah, but Orla's on fire. You're going to struggle.
But Orla's on fire. You're too quick, Orla.
Okay. Third one. Played by a gassy Margot Robbie.
Fart Barbie.
Maybe.
Gassy Margot Robbie.
Wendy Oz. Wendy Australian.
Barbie okay. is right, but maybe gassy is a bit misleading, but also funny. Gas as in
the element.
Things that you might, the thing that you breathe.
Yes.
Oxygen Barbie, air Barbie.
So like more like, yes.
Yeah, but Barbie other air. Way around. Start Barbie with the yes! Denny, where is Denny even there? Denny, I think the connection's dropped out. You're hoping
you
the connection's
make
dropped
that? Out. That leap of connection from Fart Barbie. I don't know. I get a hand it to you.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, this one. Number four. Now, I mean, Orla is actually, we got five. So, you know, it's only for your pride that you're trying to win this round.
That's a big prize.
Denny, so.
This is.
Okay.
That's right. My pride went out the window a long time.
And this one is the full name. Is what I need here. And the clue is... Hold on a minute. Sorry. This is really unprofessional.
I love it. Rose Still is like, of... I am really funny and I can't wait for the reaction.
The clue is for the full name, Orange Bum Crease.
Orange Bum Crease? Orange.
Something
Mandarin crack.
Something crack. Amber crack.
Oh, Denny!
What was it?
I got one.
You got one. Yes. Amber crack.
Amber crack.
Not Mandarin crack then. No.
Not Mandarin
well
crack.
Done.
Amber crack.
Well done.
Oh.
Amber crack.
God. I feel like I can stop now. I've got one.
I don't think that's how it works.
It's not a complete drubbing.
That's an excellent
I think it's lucky Denny's not a professional athlete. It's like, I got to the start line.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I've done what I needed to do. Okay, so for the last one, and... Well, this is for, you know, Denny's pride, if nothing else.
Hold on, we've got two more rounds. We've
got two more rounds. Yeah. We've got two more rounds.
There's only one portion of pride per round, though, Denny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's how it works.
I thought there were five portions. Five questions, no?
Okay. And the last one is, she is nothing but discourteous.
Rude. Nothing.
Rudy, no.
You might need to put that. It's like there's everything about her is discourteous.
All rude? All rude.
Yes!
Very good.
All rude.
I should have got that. I interviewed her last episode.
Yes, I know. And she wasn't rude at all.
Go figure.
No, she was lovely.
A total smear on her character. But
yeah.
But yes, that was the end of the cryptic criterion round. Well done, Orla. 4-1.
I tell you what, though, Amber Crack's a good one to get.
Well,
I'm kind of gutted about that. Yeah.
Yeah. All of them.
Now you're being nice, Orla.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Orla's just feeling that was the one she really
wanted. You played
a blinder,
though, didn't you, Orla? I mean, you got yours within.
It's the nerves, you see.
I think that was the fastest round we've ever done. Normally that goes on for apps forever. I actually don't probably have enough to fill the rest of the show because normally that takes up about a good 20 minutes of people just going back and forth.
Retention rate on listeners in the Christmas quiz. It goes on so long.
Yes. Yes.
Well, talking of retention rate, you're going to have to let me win this next round, Orla. Otherwise the suspense will go.
Can I just say, if you do win it, Denny, then you're welcome. Yeah. That will have been a guess.
Here we go.
And the retention rate is very high because everyone's waiting for your song at the end.
True.
This will have a particularly
high
retention
rate. You will finish a winner either way.
Yeah, that was just, well that's what my <Yeah. personal.
laughs> Okay, are you ready? More or less?
Middle distance manly.
Yes, this is more or less, which we have had before. We're going to give you a number and then you have to work out if the next number that I'm giving clues towards is more or less than the number we've just been given. So the starting number is 110.
Right.
This feels already like it's going to be entirely guesswork.
Yes.
So let's go.
Okay.
Well, at least we got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
This
yeah. I think I
say less.
I think I will give bonus points if you get it exactly right.
Oh, well.
As well. So maybe I'll get you to give a number first, and then if that's wrong, then you can do more or less. Okay. Starting number is 110. So in thousands, the number of followers that Paris-Roubaix winner Alison Jackson has on Instagram.
More.
So it starts at 110,000, I guess, is the starting number.
I'm going to go more.
So Orla's going to go more. Okay. Denny?
Less.
Denny's going less. The answer is 107.
Yes!
I made that one tough.
Oh, man.
I was worried that all the others were too
easy.
That
is tough.
107,000.
I would have said 120.
107,000 is the number of followers that Alison Jackson has on Instagram. I should have given...
Hold on, I thought you were going to give bonus
Denny,
points.
I know.
I was just about to say 107,000.
Okay, I will next time, although that is a little unfair on Denny. But yes.
I would never.
No, yeah. Well, that's very honest of you, Denny. But okay, so 107 is the number that we're looking at. The number of seconds that we waited for confirmation of the photo finish at Strada Bianchi. So obviously, Demi Vollering, Lotte Kopecky come to the line at the same time and there's a pause before we know which of them won. How many...
So this is the time between them crossing the line and then the announcement of the winner.
Yeah.
So it was... So more. 107... Was it more or less than 107 seconds?
More.
All of what... Yeah, Denny
said
more. All of what
I'm saying more, but... I say more. Yeah, but maybe because it feels like a lifetime, but I'm going to stick with more.
You're both wrong, I'm afraid. It was less. It was only 40 seconds. Which I found unbelievable.
That is so
because
quick.
Because I also thought it was like, if you'd asked me, I would have said
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
I would have said four.
But it was actually 40 seconds.
The only
amount of time we had to wait till we knew who won. So no one wins any points there. Okay, so 40 is the number. And this one you have to answer quickly. No working out. Although I don't know that you would be able to work it out actually, necessarily. The number of letters in the Women's World Tour race, which has the longest name.
What?
And actually, there are two races, 2023 Women's World Tour races.
Oh, sweet mother.
With the longest name, as in the most letters. There's actually two that have the same number of letters, like the most.
More or less than 40?
More or less letters than 40.
More.
I mean, I'll go less then.
The
just to be different.
Answer is, hold on, I've The answer is more. Ola. She even said...
Well, Tour de France Femme already has 17, so I thought... I don't know what... Agglomération, is it?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. Was it 40 or 14?
40.
40. Oh, 40, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm nearly halfway there with Tour de France Femme, and that's not even long.
Yeah. But no, that the was answer... My what? The answer, the two...
Do I get a bonus for knowing one of the races? No.
No.
Except I can't remember the full name.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I can't remember the full name because I for some reason haven't Call written it down. But it was hold on.
Even agglomération feels like it's longer than 40 letters.
Let's have a little look.
Was it the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race Elite Women's Bam. Race? I've just
it
looking
was, up now. Denny, it was. That was one of them, and the other one was, as Ola said, the classic Lorient classic Lorient agglomeration trophée Ceratizit. Blah, blah. Those were the two with the longest names. They're mad.
Catchy, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So what's the total number of letters?
So that was 43 letters in each of those. So, okay, it's even Stevens. Ola won, Denny won. Next question. So 43 is the number.
Yeah.
The number of corners in one lap of the Glasgow World Championships circuit.
Oh, good question.
Of 90 degrees good or more. Question. So we want proper corners, but one lap, not the whole, not how many corners did the whole thing have, mm-hmm. just one lap of that very gnarly
I'm going to say less.
Route. Ollie, you're saying less.
I'm saying less.
Less than
I'm going to go 43. I'm going to go for fewer.
Uh-oh.
So I think that's grammatically correct, isn't it?
It is grammatically correct, mm. Yes. The number is less than 43. The corners are fewer than 43.
Yeah, there are fewer.
I'm
corners.
Sure everyone, this is the spirit of Christmas, isn't it? Is the old grammar, the old grammar police. So the grammar police coming out. Okay, so am I right in both of you, but the game is called More or Less. Am I right in both of you are saying, you're both saying less?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it
interesting.
Is.
Interesting. I'm afraid you're both wrong.
No way.
More.
Was it 47?
40.
Is there a delay on this connection? Because I changed mine to more.
The answer is 44. There were 44 corners in one lap. So it was, yes, it was very tight. But so it's all going to come down to this last question. Dun, dun, dun. Who's going to win? So 44 is the number. The number of riders with Van at the beginning of their surname across all 75 teams which make up the women's world and continental teams. So I think last year, because I've realised, because Denny listened to this last year's quiz recently, I did actually say how many Vans were there last year, but that was only in the world teams.
Okay.
So that was a much smaller number. So yes, the number of riders with Van at the beginning of their surname. It can be all one word. It can be like Van Vleuten, like two separate words. Not to give a clue away that Van Vleuten is one of them, but it could be two separate words.
Who? So there's at least one.
Yeah. I feel like it's too obvious to say more, so I'm going to say more.
Okay. Denny?
I'm going to go for less.
The answer is there are 35.
Yes!
So Denny snatches it at the very at the very last.
What I mean get is congratulations and all that.
This is why you say you gifted it to me to keep.
Oh
the suspense
yes,
up.
Of course. That's what I meant to say. You're welcome.
Gosh, well, this is great. This is just this is going to be a thriller.
So you won the guessing game, Denny. Well done.
Well, there was only two.
Educated guesses, Ola.
Okay. Well, I have to say, unfortunately, I really wanted to do the famous winner, winner, salad spinner that we did last year, where you had to guess the prizes for all the different races. But in the same style as Motto or Notto the year before, when it used to be like funny team slogans, and then the teams never did anything funny again the following year. In the same way, none of the races have given anything remotely interesting as prizes since I did winner, winner, salad spinner.
We've trolled them into submission.
Although I have to say, do get an honourable mention for Tour de Gatineau, which gave a litre of maple syrup to the winner of the time trial, who was Anna Kiesenhofer. So that they get a, they were the only ones on my list for several days. So then I gave up on that and came up instead with a game that we're calling Blankety Bonk. Blankety Bonk, Blankety Bonk, Blankety Bonk, Blankety Bonk. I've practiced that so much, you would not believe.
Well, you didn't tell us you were going to sing a song as well, Rose.
So, Blankety Bonk.
Just all her to go.
Yes, exactly. Oh, is always
singing.
On
every Christmas episode. Do not worry. Yeah. I need neither invitation nor encouragement.
We'll be lucky if we get out without one, I think.
Well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. There you go.
What I'm imagining now is Orla pushing Denny's child off the stage at her Christmas rock show to come and perform.
Not immediately. I'd start with a duet.
Immediately.
Then I'd push
you off. Just when it gets to the key change, you come on.
Yeah.
It'd be subtle as well, wouldn't it? You just kind of like slowly kind of edge her off.
Just hog the microphone. Yeah.
Right, Blankety.
Oh, I've been rumbled.
It's very straightforward. I'm going to take a quote. There's one cycling news headline, but the others are quotes from riders from this year. And all you have to do is fill in the missing word.
How does this work, Rose? Oh. Is this first?
No, it's a multiple choice.
It's multiple choice.
Then you just both pick your answer. That's how multiple choice works. Okay. I don't know why I explained that to you. You might already know that, I hope. Okay. So this first quote is from Karina Schrempf at the Tour de Romandie, where she was famously pipped to the line at the very, very last by Chiara Consoni. And the quote is, "I can understand that it may look like a celebration, but I was not celebrating. I was taking my hands off the handlebars and..."
What's the multiple choice?
That was the blank. So the choices are, was she A, I was taking my hands off the handlebars and doing Tai Chi. B, punching in frustration. C, screaming no. D, offering around a dish of vol-au-vents. Now, you've got a tricky decision to make there. So what did Karina Schrempf say when she was beaten at the Tour de Romandie? I was taking my hands off the handlebars and... What are you?
Well, it has to be B or C, as much as I want it to be A or D.
Which are you going for, Danny?
Yeah, he doesn't want to choose, does he? You're both gone very quiet.
I'm prepared to go for B.
Punching in frustration. Okay, Orla.
I'm pretty, pretty certain it's B. I'm certain it's B.
Screaming no. The answer is C, screaming no. I was taking my hands off the handlebars and screaming no.
You're kidding me. I would have bet serious money on that. I thought I knew the answer.
Oh, I thought you said it was C. Did you not say it was C?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no way. Okay, well, you said it was B. I forgot.
It was C. Yeah. I said C. Yeah.
We need like an independent adjudicator because I'm not
Hold
even
on.
Exactly
There's skullduggery
sure
going on
what
here.
Happened. Denny, what answer do you think Orla gave?
B.
No, I definitely.
Oh, okay, okay.
I definitely.
You could have got away with it. Okay, no points.
I'm not foolish enough to imagine that everyone listening wouldn't be able to rewind and
I know.
Stealing those points shamelessly. But you can see why Christmas Day, Shay Shinnowy, is a fraught affair.
Yes. really, what you could have done was stayed silent. Denny, because he's got so nervous, probably wouldn't have said anything because he's thinking about his song and he's already, you know, not sure about what to do about the quiz. And then it would have only been at the end that I would have got messages saying that was just totally wrong. Well, okay. Well, that's good. It keeps it even. No points anywhere. Next quote is Demi Vollering. Following P-gate, as we'll call it, on stage 6 of the Vuelta Femenina. This is the quote. At 70 kilometres from the finish, me and some other riders on my team had to pee. Femke Marcus also had... Is the answer... A poo. B, an issue with her bib shorts. C, a mechanical. Or D, a puncture. So that was Femke. So at 70 kilometres from the finish, me and some other riders on my team had to pee. Femke Marcus also had, was it a poo, an issue with her bib shorts, a mechanical or a puncture?
I love how she would be explaining the entire range of toilet stops. So I had to do a pee. Becky Morgan's had to do a pee. Someone else sharted.
Well, we don't know, Orla.
Yeah.
That wasn't an option, I'm afraid.
Orla, you were lauding her openness that's and
true.
Honesty.
That's true. She's Dutch. Very direct. Yeah.
Did Femke Marcus have a poo, an issue with her bib shorts is B, C, a mechanical, D, a puncture?
I'll go for C.
Denny's going for mechanical.
I want to go for C too, because I can't remember a puncture.
Orla.
And a mechanical would cover that anyway.
No. It is all even Stevens, really? Nil-nil at the moment, so.
I know. Thing is, I want to go C, but then it's boring if we're on the same points, isn't it?
Well,
for the
is it?
I will take one for the team and for the sake of entertainment, limited as that might be.
Go with what you think it is.
I'll go for D.
Okay, Orla is going for D, a puncture, and Denny's going for C, a mechanical. The answer is D, a puncture.
Yes!
There we go.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
I'm not fussed either way, but get it.
I love how Orla was like, I'm going to take one for the team and get a point here. So.
What I was actually thinking, and you won't see this on the podcast, but I was leaning back with my two arms raised in the air. And as I was doing it, I thought, entertainment wins. And then I thought, what a tosspot you are. It's entertainment wins. That's what you get. Anyway, I'm annoying even myself. I don't think I'm going to do any other Christmas quizzes. I think I'm horrific as a person.
Okay.
Oi, but I'm winning, so I'll take that.
Exactly.
Well,
Number three. This is a quote from Alison Jackson. So she said, oh boy, well this here, hopefully we can teach him some dance moves. Was it A, DS, B, that's really confusing, A, DS, sorry, I don't know how to say that without
A, FGRY,
or B, XWZ.
Are these all acronyms?
Or C, STU. No. First option is DS. Well, this DS here. B, Little Rock. C, Journalist. Or D, Little Trophy. Oh boy, well, this something here. Hopefully we can teach him some dance moves.
I'm going to go B, please, for this one.
Little Rock, Denny.
I genuinely have no idea. So I will plump randomly. I'll take one for the team, Orla.
Oh, good on you. Do you want for the entertainment.
Yeah.
A, DS.
It wins, I promise you.
So A is DS, B is Little Rock, C, Journalist, D is Little Trophy.
I'll go with C.
Journalist.
Hmm.
Sorry, that's not a good sign, is it?
Journalist. The way you said that, I think you've given away the fact that I got that horribly wrong.
Well, that was a surprise answer. But the answer is Little Rock, B. Orla.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So that's obviously talking about her, the pavé that Alison Jackson won when she was asked about if she was going to do any TikTok videos with the trophy. Okay.
Well,
number four. Come on, Denny. You need to, you know, go all in here, don't you?
I do. This is it.
Okay. Number four. This is a cycling news headline. And that is, Demi Vollering avoids to take photo finish win at Strade Bianche Women. That's the headline. So was it A, embarrassment, B, an upset, C, a feud, or D, a horse? Demi Vollering avoids something to take photo finish win at Strade Bianche Women.
Very good. I'm going to go for a horse.
Orla's going for a horse. Denny?
I think it has to be horse as well. But do I gamble for the sake of trying to stay in the competition?
Oh, I see.
This is like dealer.
If we draw,
that's
lost.
True. If you, yeah, draw this, so if that's
I,
true.
If I go with my, I think it's probably D, but maybe I'll just put, I'll go for a different answer. Just
A, embarrassment, B, an upset, C, a feud, So Demi Vollering avoids what to take photo finish win at Strada Bianca Women's.
I'm not sure she really avoided a feud.
That's the thing, you see. I think she went straight into one, didn't she?
Didn't really avoid a embarrassment.
She didn't avoid an upset.
A damning look back on that.
Well, it wasn't an upset. It wasn't an upset, though.
It has to be a horse, doesn't it? I can't see any other answer.
Okay, the answer is D, a horse. Demi Vollering avoids a horse to take photo finish win at Strada Bianca Women. So they,
I know,
but...
Oh, don't, Denny, no, don't say that yet.
Okay, well, what we can do is it's all in on this question.
Oh, for good fix.
No, that
you
is
see,
a fix,
see, I told you,
it?
You bribed her.
If Denny gets this one then there is a tie break.
I should be a good sport. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to
be Christmas quizzes
person.
Is not the place for that, Orla. That's not the,
no, it's not.
Not the place.
That's your deepest, darkest, most childish self.
It's more Christmas entertaining space. For the listener if you really want to win it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to be open and honest,
for,
like Demi Vollering.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, save the better person for 2024.
Orla, I have been plying Rose with bottles of a sparkling wine called Cavendish.
He actually has.
Have
in
you
preparation
actually?
For
he actually has, yeah. I've actually got two.
Wow.
It's not working.
They
clearly.
Were a wedding gift
not drunk
that
yet.
Went missing in the post. And then when it turned up, there was two bottles, which was amazing. And it was delicious. So, yes, but that's not got anything to do with.
So just remember this. Rose, when you're doing the final scores.
Okay, this is the final.
Did you not get the three bottles that I sent?
Yeah. okay, so this is the final question. I would like to say it all comes down to this, but it doesn't. But come on, Denny, for your pride, you can do it. This is the quote. This is Cecily Utrecht-Ludwig, who is obviously a quote machine. And this is her speaking after the World Championships in Glasgow. Okay. The quote is, I actually, a few times, it was a very, very tough course. Is the answer A, threw up? B, was as dead as a fish. C, hit the wall. Or D, slid out. I actually something a few times. It was a very, very tough course. Lots of thought. Look at this. Crazy levels
of
thinking.
I'm going to go three up. But I don't think it was that because I think I would have remembered. But I'll go three up because it is the kind of thing that she would openly admit to.
So Cecily Ludwig, did she say she threw up? Or did she say she was as dead as a fish? Did she say she hit the wall?
Slid out seems like the logical one to me, but I don't think that's catchy enough for Cecily Ludwig. I think it has to be something a bit more out
hit
there.
Hit the wall. Also, I think it's a good one.
So I'll go with a fish. I've got nothing to lose.
Yes, I know, apart from all pride and dignity entirely.
I don't think he has that anymore.
We've got the song coming up, so that will finish you off. So. The song that Denny has warned us he hasn't practiced in weeks. So, right, the answer is Cecily Utrecht-Ludwig threw up. I actually threw up a few times. It was a very, very tough course. Orla, just cementing your position as queen of the Christmas quiz. Well done, Orla. Resounding.
Thank you.
A resounding
now
win.
Now I feel... really embarrassed at being such a tool. You know?
Yeah.
If I knew I was going to win all along, it could have been magnanimous.
It's like, it's good if you lose and you've been just showboating.
Dramatic.
But if you win, then everyone's just a bit like...
Then it's just a bit like, oh, shut, just go,
just,
go away.
Oh. But there you go. I just say resounded, but actually it wasn't that resounded, was it? A round apiece.
Well, go with
and
resounding,
then...
Rose.
Oh, it's only in the last couple of questions, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it went all his way. But you know, I think I'll be a gracious loser. I went.
Listen, Denny. It was a really hard quiz. I threw up a few times.
All right. Well, on that.
Tell you what, though, the fact that you are so keen to win, Orla, makes it all the more.
Oh no! Don't play that. That's so annoying. That's such an irritating.
No, I mean, but imagine how boring it would be. For the listener, if we were like both like, oh, I can't.
Wait a minute. Who's not bothered about the Christmas quiz? Well, Denny, you're very kindly, a surprise to us all, actually, is that you've said that you wrote a song, especially for us here on the Cycling Podcast, Feminine, and it's a takeoff of the 12 Days of Christmas, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know what possessed me to do this.
From 1 to 12.
But in the spirit of your
get the mince pies. Yeah.
In the spirit of your numbers, oh, I've also got Christmas crackers for us all.
But, oh, go on then. Go on. Let's.
But anyway, this can be rubbish for audio, so maybe we won't bother doing.
No, I think it's good for audio. Go on. I'll pull.
Rose is a penguin cracker.
As always.
Orla's a little reindeer.
Oh, you're cute, Orla. You're very cute.
But I'm a polar bear.
Is that a polar bear? Okay.
So Terry, can you take pictures so we can post them, Denny? I think we should give them proper love.
Absolutely.
So Denny has brought crackers, he's written a song, and then he's lost the quiz. It just doesn't seem right, does it?
It doesn't. I've brought myself and a lot of smugness. Just annoying.
Well, Denny, how do you want to do? Are you going to give us a little spiel about your inspirations?
Have you got a backing track?
Do you want us to join in? Or,
so yeah. I felt like we've done SD Works Down a lot, haven't we? Even in this episode.
Yes.
So this is a little hymn to them.
A hymn,
these are all different facts, numbers, obviously, 12 through to 1, about SD Works' season.
And you're famous for your numbers, Denny, with your big calculator.
With the calculator. Yeah. I mean, I didn't consult the Casio Nivea Doma for this one, I'm sure they're all correct, roughly. So I'll just sing it. I'll just go for it.
You just got to go for it.
I'm going to stuff it up. I haven't sung this for a week, but it doesn't matter, does it? It's all in the spirit of Christmas.
It's so all Christmas.
Go. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing the 12 days of Christmas from the first day.
I was wondering. I didn't think. Shall I ask that? Is that rude?
I know you've got to do the school run in a minute. So.
Sorry, kids, we were late, but I only got to day 6 by the time of pickup.
Okay, here we go. So, 12 Ebus victories, 11 different winners, 10 French race days, 9 national jerseys, 8 Roycer triumph, 6 GC successes, 6 Lotto Tour stages, 5 riders without a win, 4 Tour Fam stages, 3 Ardennes classics, 2 Giro wins, and a world champs for Lotto Capecchi.
I love how Denny also... Not only did he do all of them, but he didn't even sing that on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. You were just like, I'm going straight in.
Too nervous.
Yeah, I forgot about that bit, to be honest. I was worried about all the school run.
Oh, that was amazing, Danny.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Christmas that has.
The Cycling Podcast single will be out in time for Christmas. We're going to try and get it to number one spot.
All proceeds go to our own charity.
Denny, that was amazing. I feel like it went so quickly that I didn't even have time to take it all in.
Absorb it.
Well,
that was beautiful. But I think what we should do is record you doing it again, and then we'll put it out on Instagram so that everyone can enjoy it. Denny looks so crestfallen that I've suggested that. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. Well, get the crackers out, Denny. Time to...
Shall I see if it does a sound effect for us?
Yeah. Give it a go. Whoa.
Oh, there we go.
Probably a lot of a sound effect there. But, thank you both for joining me. It's been lovely to have your company and your competitive spirit, let's say, here for the Christmas quiz. Thank you very much, Denny. And thank you very much for coming on board with the Cycling Podcast this year. It's been a pleasure to
have you. Yeah, you've been brilliant. You're amazing at this. Been really fun to listen to you.
Well, thank you, Orla.
Really good.
That means a lot. Well, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for this lovely quiz, Rose, because it's been amazing, despite losing.
Yeah, I was going to say you're better at the podcasting than the quizzing, that's for sure. And
that's a good thing.
Yeah, and Orla, thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming and joining us on our last one in December. It's been delightful to have you back. We have missed you.
It's been lovely to be back. And Rose, thank you for holding the fort through your rotating cast of characters, especially in the last half of this year. You've done an amazing job, and it's been lovely to always know that I'm tuning in to hear your voice. You've been brilliant. And for your efforts on the quiz as well. I think Fart Barbie will live with me for a long time.
Yes, with all of us. That was the real smell of anger that we were talking about earlier on, was the Fart Barbie at the finish line.
That's been brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thank you all. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another year of the Cycling Podcast Feminine. And have a very Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.